Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, EEOC Pre-Suit Obligations and Attorney's Fees Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On May 19, 2016, the Supreme Court decided CRST Van Expedited Inc. v. EEOC. In 2007, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission filed a sexual harassment suit against CRST Van Expedited on behalf of approximately 270 female employees. When a number failed to appear for depositions, the district court barred the EEOC from pursuing their claims as a discovery sanction. The remaining claims were dismissed on various other grounds, including 67 claims that the district court dismissed for failure of the EEOC to separately investigate, find a reasonable cause for, or attempt to conciliate them. In addition, the court awarded CRST some $4.46 million in attorney's fees and expenses on the basis that the claims were frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation. On appeal, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit affirmed the dismissal of all but two claims, vacated the award of fees and costs, and remanded the case. On remand, one of the remaining claims was withdrawn, and the other settled. CRST renewed its petition for fees, costs, and expenses, and the district court again awarded it approximately $4.6 million. On a second appeal, the Eighth Circuit again reversed the award, finding that claims which had been dismissed for the EEOC's failure to meet pre-suit obligations could not serve as grounds for a fees award, and remanding for an individualized determination as to whether other claims were frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation. The U.S. Supreme Court granted CRST's subsequent petition for certiorari, vacating the judgment of the Eighth Circuit and remanding the case by a vote of 8-0. Justice Kennedy's opinion for a unanimous court held that a favorable ruling on the merits is not a necessary predicate to find that a defendant is a prevailing party for purposes of awarding attorney's fees award. Justice Thomas filed a concurring opinion. To discuss the case, we have Kenton J. Skirin, who is an associate at Jones Day. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Mr. Skirin.
The Supreme Court recently reversed the Eighth Circuit in CRST Van Expedited Inc. v. Equal Employment Opportunity Commission in a unanimous opinion written by Justice Kennedy. The court ruled against the EEOC and concluded that a defendant need not prevail on the merits to be a prevailing party under federal fee-shifting statutes. Unlike a plaintiff who must show that there has been a material alteration in the legal relationship between the parties, a defendant's primary objective is to maintain the status quo. The court recognized that a defendant achieves this goal when it rebuffs the plaintiff's challenge, regardless of the precise reason for the victory. While the CRST Van decision arose from the fee-shifting provision of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 and addressed litigation misconduct by the EEOC, the Supreme Court tries to interpret all fee-shifting statutes similarly. As a result, CRST Van's holding should apply to any federal fee-shifting statute. The case arose from the district court's findings that the EEOC wholly failed to meet its statutory requirements for bringing a Title VII suit. Title VII requires the EEOC to engage in an investigation of claims of harassment, make a finding that there is reasonable cause to believe a violation occurred, and attempt to resolve the claim through informal conciliation procedures, all before it brings a suit. Those requirements are supposed to benefit both employers and alleged harassment victims by resolving complaints quickly and without litigation. In this case, the EEOC admitted that it failed to follow these requirements for 67 potential claimants. As relevant here, the district court relied on that fact to dismiss the case. At that point, Title VII's attorney's fees provision came into play. 42 U.S.C. Section 2000E-5K authorizes the district court in its discretion to allow the prevailing party a reasonable attorney's fee. The Supreme Court has explained that this statute sets out a two-pronged test. First, a party must prevail, and what that word means was the subject of this case. Second, the court in a prior case, known as Christiansburg Garment Company v. EEOC, explained that although prevailing plaintiffs receive attorney's fees in all but special circumstances, prevailing defendants have to show that the plaintiff's action was frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation. The district court concluded that its judgment made CRST Van a prevailing party. Applying the Christiansburg standard, the district court found that the EEOC's failure to follow its pre-suit obligations was unreasonable and awarded over $4 million in attorney's fees and expenses. After several procedural ins and outs not necessary to recount here, the Eighth Circuit eventually reversed the attorney's fees award. In the opinion under review at the Supreme Court, it stated that CRST Van could only be a prevailing party under the fee statute if it won what it termed a ruling on the merits. It concluded that dismissal for failure to satisfy pre-suit obligations was not such a merits determination. In the Supreme Court's unanimous opinion reversing, Justice Kennedy explained that the Eighth Circuit's on-the-merits rule had no basis in the fee statute's text or in common sense. The court explained that what it means for a party to prevail for fee statute purposes differs for plaintiffs and defendants. Under prior Supreme Court case law, a plaintiff need only secure material alteration in the legal relationship between the parties. By contrast, a defendant just wants to maintain the status quo by preventing any such alteration. As the court explained, while a defendant might, quote, prefer a judgment vindicating its position regarding the substantive merits, end quote, the defendant nevertheless has, quote, fulfilled its primary objective whenever the plaintiff's challenge is rebuffed, irrespective of the precise reason, end quote. The court refused to decide the Solicitor General's alternative argument that a prevailing defendant must obtain a preclusive judgment, noting that the argument was raised for the first time at the Supreme Court, may have been forfeited, and at any rate could be resolved by the Eighth Circuit on remand. The court also declined to determine whether the EEOC's conduct was frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation under the Christianberg standard, the second prong of the fee-shifting test, again leaving that issue for the Eighth Circuit to decide. The court concluded its analysis by noting that it had been 10 years since proceedings began. It suggested that the lower courts make every effort to resolve the case as quickly as possible, in keeping with the principle that litigation over attorney's fees should not turn into a second major litigation. Justice Thomas filed a brief concurrence. He indicated that he agreed with the majority's conclusion that there's a distinction between what it means for a defendant and a plaintiff to prevail. However, on the application of the Christiansburg standard that the court did not address, he noted that he continues to believe that Christiansburg was incorrectly decided. Justice Thomas explained that the text of the Title VII fee-shifting statute does not support granting prevailing plaintiffs' fees as a matter of course, while imposing a different and higher burden on defendants. He would therefore use the same legal standard to award fees once a party prevails, regardless whether the party was a prevailing plaintiff or defendant. This case has now been remanded to the Eighth Circuit for further proceedings. Now that CRST Van is a prevailing party, that court will need to resolve whether the EEOC's conduct was frivolous, unreasonable, or without foundation under Christiansburg. It also remains to be seen whether the government will attempt to advance its likely forfeited argument that a judgment must be preclusive to give a defendant prevailing party status. The government may also try to raise that argument in future cases, which could limit the impact of the CRST Van decision. But for the present, at least, the Supreme Court recognizes that a win's a win for defendants seeking fees, regardless how it happens.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.